walk with me to Habakkuk. I didn't know that was in there. It's in there. Habakkuk, chapter number one. Habakkuk, chapter number one. And this is an interesting book, the book of Habakkuk. This is interesting, and I believe it kind of mirrors kind of the day and time that we're living in, some of the aspects of this book. Hopefully we'll be able to bring that out. But here we are in Habakkuk, chapter number one, beginning at verse number one. I have, of course, the Amplified Classic Version, the burden or oracle, the thing to be lifted up, which Habakkuk, the prophet, saw. Verse number two, here's what Habakkuk is crying out. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear, or cry out to you of violence, and you will not save? There were some things that were going on in Habakkuk's day. There were some things that were going on. There was violence, there was wickedness, and Habakkuk had been crying out to the Lord, and it looked like God wasn't doing anything about it. And so he's writing, and he's questioning God. He's questioning God. Sometimes we question God about the things that are going on. Sometimes we get low-key upset with God because it looks like things are happening and there's no end to it. We know that the scripture lets us know that in the last days, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. There was violence going on in Habakkuk's day, and he didn't have the benefit of all the scriptures again like we have them, but it was on his heart and it was on his mind, and he wanted God to do something. And I think a lot of times that's our sentiment too. We want God to move when we want him to move. And all the time, God is working things out even when we don't know he's working things out. Sometimes God is working things out of us. And but we have I'm talking about mankind, humankind, we have a tendency to want stuff quick, fast, and in a hurry. And especially y'all pray for your boy today, especially if we've been walking with God for a little while. We maybe think that we have some stock with God. We come on, God. I've been saved since 1985, and I gave this up, and I gave that up, and we may even go down a list of what I'm not doing anymore. Sometimes we forget that it's God's grace. and we like to pad our own spiritual resume because it looks like God is not doing anything. But God, he answered Habakkuk. In verse number five of this very same chapter, God answered him. And he said, look around you, Habakkuk, replied the Lord, among the nations and see, and be astounded, for I am putting into effect a work in your days such that you would not believe it if it were told you. Because what God was getting ready to do, and you can go back and read this entire book. It's not a long book. It's only three chapters. God was going to use a wicked nation to chastise Judah. But once God used the wicked nation, then God was in fact going to deliver his people. And so the Lord told him to look around. You're going to be astonished. You're going to be amazed at this, because I'm getting ready to do something that you're not going to believe. You thought that I wasn't doing nothing. You thought that I wasn't seeing anything, but you just hold on. You just hold on and you wait and see. Verse number 12 of chapter number 1, Habakkuk is still talking here. He says, are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have appointed the Chaldeans to execute your judgment, and you, O rock, have established him for chastisement and correction. So now it looks like he's coming to his senses. You know, sometimes we speak out of tune. Sometimes we speak too fast, and it looks like he's getting some sense now after God is replying. It's basically the conversation is something like, if you allow me, God, how come you ain't doing nothing? And God's like, I'm doing something, you just don't know what I'm doing. Because you ain't God. And sometimes that's our problem. We don't know what God is doing. There used to be a song that said God is up to something. But we want to know the full details of what God is doing. We want to know how his plan is going to be carried out. We want to know the exact date, the exact time, the exact manner on which deliverance will come. And we forget, sometimes momentarily, we forget the decree of God, be still and know that I am God. He said, I'm going to be exalted among the heathen. So God chooses. Listen, God can use who and what he wants to use in order to fulfill his plan. But what we have to be sure of is that we stay on the right track with God. Oh, I forgot to tell you what my subject was. Living by faith in difficult times. Living by faith in difficult times. This was a difficult time for Habakkuk, because stuff was going on, and he was trying to figure it out. What in the world is going on? God, are you seeing what's going on? And some may feel in your life there's all kind of stuff. The wheels are coming off my cart, and stuff is just falling out of place. And God, what is really going on? I know you are from everlasting. I know you're the Lord my God. I know you're the Holy One. But you're going to use, Habakkuk said, you're going to use the Chaldeans to execute your judgment. So let God do what God does. Basically is what Habakkuk was coming to realize, but he didn't fully grasp it yet, because he still had some complaint. And that's what we do sometimes. You know, oh Lord, we know we just got finished singing Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness, but we don't want no darkness at all. We don't want there to be a necessity or a circumstance where he has to make a way. We want comfortableness. Yeah, I hope y'all invite me back. We want things to go unimpeded. We want the least amount of resistance as possible. We don't want nothing to upset our day. We don't want nothing to go awry from what our agenda is. We don't want nothing to upset our apple cart. We don't want no wind to hit us in the face. We want the wind at our back, excelling us and moving on and moving us on. But we can't accept that sometimes the wind will change direction and it will blow against us. We don't want that. Can I say we? I thank you. Verse number 13, first chapter says, "You are of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look inactively upon injustice." So here he's still talking to God. Said, "God, see, I know you're holy, huh? And I know your eyes are too pure to behold evil, and you can't look inactively upon injustice. God, you're supposed to be doing something. You're supposed to be doing something. Why then do you look upon the plunderer? Why are you silent when the wicked one destroys him who is more righteous than the Chaldean oppressor is?" Like, what's going on, God? Look at verse 2. Chapter 2. Habakkuk is something else. Andy, does anybody see any similarities in what Habakkuk said and how we feel sometimes? Okay. Look at chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. "Oh, I know. I have been rash to talk out plainly this way to God." I know. Yeah. I'm about to get in some deep water here. He says, "I will, in my thinking, stand upon my post of observation and station myself on the tower or fortress, and I will watch to see what he will say within me and what answer I will make as his mouthpiece to the perplexities of my complaint against him." See, Habakkuk is saying, look, I know God's going to say something to me. He's going to speak in me. Because that's the type of God that he is. So in my own thinking, I'm just going to stand here. I'm going to wait. Because I know God is going to do something. I just know. But the problem is, I'm trying to figure him out. And that's where I get myself in trouble when I try to figure out God. He says, I'm going to wait and see what he's going to answer. I'm going to see, God's going to answer me. He's going to speak inside of me, and then he's going to allow me to speak out what he speaks inside of me to the perplexities of my complaints against him. So some of us have some complicated complaints against God. I want to see you. There you are. Some of us have some things that we've been taking to God for years. And it seems like I'm just going to wait and see. I done prayed. I done fasted. I believe, but ain't nothing happening yet. I done worshiped. And praise. I keep coming, even when I don't feel like coming. But I'm just going to wait. I'm going to fold my arms spiritually and tap my feet and wait and see what God's going to do. I'm going to wait. But I know he's going to say something in me. See, I'm setting my own self up for God to remind me who he really is. Verse 2, chapter 2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it so plainly upon tables that everyone who passes may be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens by. Verse number 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it hastens to the end, fulfillment. It will not deceive or disappoint. Though it tarry, wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come to pass. It will not be behindhand on its appointed day. God is telling him, look, there's an appointed day that I'm going to bring everything that you've been crying about. There is an appointed day. It's just that you don't know the day. But I want you to write it down. I want you to put it, I want you to document. Write it down so that everybody that comes by can know and understand that it's going to happen just like God said it's going to happen, but it's going to happen when he says it's going to happen. He said it will surely come. It will not be behindhand on its appointed day. Then he said in verse number 4, look at the proud. His soul is not straight or right within him. He's still talking about the Chaldeans, because the Chaldeans, although they were being used by God, they thought they was getting over like fat cats, right? But then he said, but the rigidly just and the uncompromisingly righteous man shall live by his faith and in his faithfulness. So whatever God uses, sometimes I think I've shared before that trouble sometimes is a tool that God will use to get to a certain point. So whatever you have to go through, Habakkuk, you need to know and understand that after you go through, first of all, you're not going through by yourself, because God has already promised to never leave you nor forsake you. So when the trouble comes, yes, it's hard. Yes, it's severe. Yes, it's uncomfortable and even painful. Yes, it's stressful and mentally draining. But you have to remember that you are not going through whatever you're going through by yourself. God has already said, I will not leave you, neither will I forsake you. And there is an appointed day for your deliverance. There is an appointed day that God has already put in his heart and in his mind, that those things that you've been praying for. God said, I heard every last one of your prayers. Your prayers have come up before God as a memorial. God said, I see you praying. I hear you praying. I see you worshiping. I see you sacrificing. I see you still serving. But listen, there is an appointed day, and it's going to come on time. Remember the song you used to sing? He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. God said, put that back on top of your playlist, because I am a prayer answering God. This is going to happen. Yes, you might have some enemies and opposition that come against you, but I want you to remember who you are, and I want you to remember the God that's in you, the rigidly just. Listen, when trouble comes, you still got to be rigid and just. You have to be uncompromisingly righteous, because whatever happens, you still are going to live by faith. This is what God is declaring. The just will live by faith. Yeah, I'm going to use the Babylonians and any other nation that I want just to get your attention and put your mind clearly focused on God and let you know that I'm with you. I am with you. I'm going to keep you. You ain't going to lose your mind. You are not going to go crazy when the day comes. But I wonder if you can believe that that is an appointed day, and since it is an appointed day, I'm just going to stand and praise God. Yes, I might be weary in my mind, weary in my soul. I might be weary in my heart, but I'm believing God that there is an appointed day when all these things are going to be done away with. It may happen on this side of eternity, but if it does not happen on this side, I got a guarantee that it is going to happen on the other side. Sometimes God will deliver you here, but trust and believe you will be delivered there. So since I'm already sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, I got to have a heavenly mindset. I hear God in his word say, set your affection on things above and not on the things that are on the earth. Listen, the Lord, he is the strength of all of our lives. What can man do unto us? We are the sons of God, and God is a faithful God. God is looking for some people who can live by faith in some difficult times. Nobody said that this life would be easy, but one songwriter said, I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. So guess what? I don't feel no ways tied. I come too far. Listen, we done crossed the line a long time ago when we repented of our sins and got baptized in Jesus' name. We made a decision once and for all, and I'm not changing my mind. I am not looking back. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. I'm still praying as I'm upward bound. Lord, I need you to plant my feet on some higher ground. And guess what? The higher you go, the thinner the air gets. The higher you go, you got some obstacles. But I like what God said. He will make our feet like hind feet. He will make our feet able to go up a little higher. Descend. Glory. Hallelujah. I think I feel like preaching a little bit now. If you look in Habakkuk, he said there's some high places of suffering. Oh, glory. That blew my mind. You mean there's still some suffering? As I go up higher, the closer I get to God, the intensity of the suffering is still going to come. Oh, but glory, hallelujah, God is my bravery. I ain't brave on my own, but my strength and my confidence, it comes from God. I hear God tapping me on my shoulder. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power, not of your might, of his might. God is the omnipotent God. God is the one that can take us up higher in him. And when he takes up us higher, there is going to be some things that are going to drop off. There are going to be some things that we're going to leave behind. But the higher we go, the tougher the challenge is. But guess what? He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. This same God, listen, he tells us to fret not ourselves because of evildoers. So don't you get sidetracked by all those in the world that look like they're living wild and foul and they're getting over. I hear David said in one place, my foot almost slipped when I looked at the prosperity of the wicked. There's no bands in their death. They're doing what they want to do, living how they want to live. I almost got jealous
Because Man Man and them is still slinging crack. And little mama and them still selling her body to make ends meet. I ain't forgot how to do that, but I've been bought with the price. So I got to understand. David said, I almost slipped when I saw their prosperity. But when I went into the sanctuary, that's why you gotta come to the sanctuary. That's why you gotta come to the house of God. Then I understood therein. I understood that God set them wicked folks in some slippery places. They might be on top right now, but they're coming down. They're not only coming down to the ground, they're going down to the depths of hell. But God has set our feet on hinds feet. He's telling us, you talking about make and a layer. God said it's time for you to get your mind, all of us, to get our mind on the things of God. Yeah, we might have to suffer a little bit. Oh, glory. I might have to come to your house to borrow a few eggs. You might have to come to my house to get some bread and some cornmeal. But thank God we can set a table and I can invite you to eat in my house. And you can eat and we can eat at your house. But one day, very soon, God's going to set a table for all of us. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. I don't know what all we have to go through down here, but if my brother goes with me, I think I can make it. If my sister comes with me, I think we can make it. So that's why we need to link arms with one another. When my money get funny and my change gets strange, I might have to dip into your reserve. I know y'all don't like this. Not my money. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Why do you think God let that come into your hands? What will it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? I got to share what I got with my brothers and my sisters. I got to share. I can't be stingy. God has picked me up from the streets, from the gutter, and put some clean clothes on me. Allowed me to get a few bars of soap, and dare I turn my nose up against or to my brother or my sister. Don't I remember when the soles of my feet were actually dark green because I wore a pair of socks for so long. Didn't have a place to bathe this flesh, but God, in his grace, he had an appointed day when I would hear the glorious gospel. I need to hire somebody to shout for me right here. He appointed a day when I heard the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I repented of my sins. I got baptized in Jesus' name. And on a Wednesday night, June 19th, 1985, they told me about the Holy Ghost. And guess what? I believed it and I received it. Down came the Holy Ghost. I began to speak in other tongues. They showed me in the Word before it happened. And I said, that's what I want. I made up my mind in that basement room at 3200. I said, I ain't leaving without the Holy Ghost. I was ready to die physically because I knew death was waiting for me out there in them streets. I said, God, I don't understand it all, but I believe it. Give me that Holy Ghost. Down came the Holy Ghost. I know what it is to get high on weed I know what it is to get high on crack. I know what it is to take it to the head and drink a 40 or a fifth of Wild Irish Rose or Mad Dog 2020. But the Holy Ghost ain't nothing like that. This wine is living water. It, oh glory, hallelujah. God filled me with that living water. Yes, he did. And God, he kept us right downtown on Skid Row. Yes, he did. Living in the Pacific Grand Hotel, saved, sanctified. Folks jumping out of windows. People getting robbed and killed. But God kept me and my precious wife. Ain't had no car, ain't had no bus pass, but God, in his time, and God has an appointed time for everything. He got us out. When we move, I feel like testifying and preaching. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm testifying to the glory of God. We moved with garbage bags on RTD into the Crystal House apartments, and God had appointed time for us to stay there. Then God had an appointed time for us to move. It was God all the time. Don't you dare despise small beginnings. God wants to see your faith. Can you trust God with a three-legged plug-in pot? While you eat Top Ramen, I became a Top Ramen connoisseur. I know how to cut the wieners up, cut some onions up, melt some cheese on it. That was all I had. And you better believe I was thankful for that. God, he knows how to move you in every direction until he has us where we are now. It ain't about me. It's about God. So God said, write the vision and make it plain. God has a vision for your life. God has a plan for your life. But can God trust you to have faith in difficult times? To have faith when you ain't got two coins to rub together? I couldn't even spell car. But now my vehicle is paid off. Glory. Hallelujah. Nobody but God can do something like that. I glorify him. I trust him. I worship him. I'll praise him. I'll serve him. For God I live, and for God I live on. Because if I go by the way of grave, I'm still getting up at the appointed time. The Bible says, I believe it's in Hebrews, in not long, he that shall come, he will come, and his reward is with him. God has a guaranteed reward for all the faithful ones who can't show themselves faithful to God in these difficult times. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. Can God trust us in difficult times? Get rid of that pride. Get rid of it. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I've had people in my life that have helped me spiritually, naturally, financially. They've helped me. So what I look like, closing my bowels of mercy and compassion. We all see difficult times from time to time. I don't want to have to go to the heathen for help Although God, being God, he can let the heathen help you. But wouldn't it be so much of a better blessing if we can help one another, bear one another's burdens? And so we fulfill the love of God. Somebody should be able to, your brother or your sister should be able to come to you in honesty and say, you know, I'm a little down. What you need? Boom. Give it to them. Oh, Lord. Don't look for it back. And don't put it on Facebook, on your Instagram. I just helped so-and-so and so-and-so. Pray my strength. No. You need to go help somebody else and delete that account if all you're going to do is brag. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Faith in difficult times. I don't know what's coming, but there's some crazy stuff that's happening right now. We don't know how we're going to need one another. They may not come to my house. I'm going to put the dog on them. Get rid of that dog then. I'm preaching to myself. So as soon as somebody comes here, shut up. Get in the pen. I'm letting everybody in that need to come in. I told my wife, we're late bloomers. Late according to our standards, but right on time with God. God said at the appointed time. I told her, and she can verify it, I said, this house is not just for us. What we need, two of us, in our sensational 60s, what we need with the house over 2,000 square feet, when we used to be in a hotel room and we survived, it's not just for us. So if you need to spend a night, we'll make room. I didn't hear amen. I didn't hear nothing. Huh? Come on. Huh? The saints, thank you. The saints of old did it all the time. Let's flash back. Remember, somebody preached a message a little while ago, let the church be the church. Y'all remember that? Okay. It was some preacher that came through here and preached that message. Let the church be the church. Huh? We should be helpers one of another. If you low, all right, I'll put on a pot of beans and rice, come on over. You like spaghetti? I'll even put some garlic bread on. And I'm not going to put it on Twitter or X or whatever they call it now. I just want to sit you down, make sure you got enough, and give you a to-go container. And say, if you need some more, just hit me up. Just call me. We don't know. Look, there are people making all kind of laws. Huh? Did y'all see how gas prices went up overnight? Huh? We don't know. Gas prices is up. Food prices is up. Right? You got strikes everywhere. It sounds like a baseball game. Strike. Ford. Strike. GM. Strike. Chrysler. Strike. Actor. Strike. How many strikes they got? Huh? Yeah. So they threatening to shut the government down. All the folks depending on Social Security. Aren't you glad you got spiritual security? So if they cut your check, we can eat beans together. I ain't too proud to eat beans. Because if they cut my check, I'm knocking on your door. I know where all y'all live. There's enough people in here, I can eat for 2 months. Come on. Y'all laughing, but we don't know. Get the mindset, huh? To be helpers one of another.
We still have to maintain our faith in difficult times. I think that's enough. That's enough. Somebody ought to get saved. Somebody ought to get the Holy Ghost that I was talking about.